Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Scare Track Podcast, a podcast supported by the Haunted Attractions Network. This episode is dedicated to the Extreme Haunt panel that myself and Lee from the Frequent Fear Podcast teamed up to host during the 2017 ScareCon at the Alton Towers Resort. On the panel, you'll hear from myself, Lee from Frequent Fear and Cracked, Jason Carl from Atmosphere Scare Entertainment, Callum Beckett, an actor from Snuffhouse. We also have Danny Heim from Germany, Matthias from Belgium, Timothy Deves and Alex Higginson from the UK, who are all extreme haunt enthusiasts and travel the whole world to become extreme attraction victims. Before we play the audio from the panel, we would like to thank Europaunts for promoting the panel on their social media, as well as Return of the Living Podcast, who reach out to their listeners in the US for questions for the panel. Also, a huge thank you to ScareCon for the invitation to host the panel. We do mention this in the live recording, but we had such a strict time limit, we just couldn't fit in all of your questions. But thank you so much to everyone who did send them in. We do have plans to team up again with the Frequent Fear guys to bring another podcast panel in the near future. So let's get to it. Just a very quick warning, there is a short extract from the panel where a member of the panel discusses their dark past. This panel member gave us full permission to use his speech in our podcast and over on our live video feed from the day. But please be aware, some listeners may find his story distressing yet inspirational. So let's take you back to ScareCon 2017 and the Extreme Attraction panel.
You're listening to ScareTrack.
Hello, thank you everyone for coming to join us. So I think this is the first ever haunt panel we've had at ScareCon, which is quite exciting, and it's all about the extreme haunts. Some of you in the room know exactly what we're talking about. You're just as weird as this lot. Some of it, you're probably looking at me like I'm in a zoo, not got a clue. So what we're going to do first, we're going to talk a little bit about who we are. There's me and Lee. I'm from Frequent Fear, that's Lee. Lee's from Frequent Fear Podcast. And I'm from the Scare Track Podcast. So basically everyone. We've got the panel. If you'd like to introduce yourselves, like I say, Lee from the Frequent Fear Podcast. And just go along yourselves, introduce yourselves, or whoever you are.
Hello, I'm Alan Nicholson, survivor of Snuffhouse.
Oh yeah. We're going to get a hand mic for these guys so people can hear them.
Tim Deves, I've survived Psychomantium, Cracked versus Heretic, and also Snuffhouse.
Danny Heim, I did all Cracked events, Snuffhouse After Dark, Snuffhouse Alone, Victim Experience, and some other stuff in the US.
Hey guys, I'm Matthias, I'm from Belgium, and I have done various iterations of Cracked, Snuffhouse, and Heretic.
Hello, I'm Colin Beckett, I'm an actor in Snuffhouse, and I represent Atmosphere Scare Entertainment. I'm not standing up, hello. I'm Jason Carl, I'm the creative director for Atmosphere Scare Entertainment, so we produce Psychomantium, Snuffhouse Alone, and Snuffhouse After Dark, and our original Extreme Haunt, which had elements of extremity in it, was Horror Come Life.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love this. Like, this is your life.
The reason we've done this really is just to give the whole scare community kind of an insight on what we do, what we enjoy, what we don't like regarding extreme attractions. Like I say, there's myself, Mikey. Just a quick plug. We're a scare track. We're basically a podcast that talk all about scare attractions, haunted houses. We interview owners, actors, designers. We go through attractions with the audio. Basically, like YouTube, but with no video. So we will go through attractions, we'll have audio attractions, we'll talk to people working in attractions, that kind of thing. People seem to enjoy it. So we were one of the scare attraction podcasts, and then Lee runs Frequent Fear, which is the sort of other side of the scare attraction podcast world.
Hi, well, Frequent Fear is slightly different to Scare Track in that what we do is on each episode we take one individual, and what we want to know is how they tick. So we take somebody, like we've had Jason and Stuart and some other people in the room on, and what we do is that we just start with a very simple question of how they was as a child, and then we sort of let them talk for like an hour and a half, just really going through their life and just hoping to, when we get to the end of the sort of very informal chat, just hoping that we can understand the minds behind the attractions a little bit more. So that's virtually it as such. We also do US people as well, we don't just do the UK.
Awesome. So we've met the panel as well, we've introduced ourselves. I'll talk very, very quickly about sort of the evolution of UK extreme attractions. Obviously, they've been going around in the US. The US, basically, they've sort of started everything that we're doing now. We all sort of know that with your regular haunts, your regular haunted houses, anything. And it's just the same with extreme attractions. We've heard of the infamous Buckingham Manor, Blackout, Heretic, Victim Experience and such. We know about that kind of thing, but what we don't know as much about as a collective is the UK side of it. Now, this is more so a personal opinion, but I think these guys sort of agree with us as well, in that we think Project Fear were probably one of the main first extreme attractions. Project Fear 2012 by G&G, Gary and Gavin. They can't be here tonight, today, because they're busy riding roller coasters in America. Bastards. Generally angry. So Project Fear was the first one. It's the first sort of attraction where they did waterboard you, tie you up, gag you, do extreme experiences, adult themes, made you go through alone. And speaking to G&G, they basically did that through frustration. They didn't want to say, we're going to do this, we're going to be amazing because the insurance is going to be so expensive. They didn't want to do any of that. They were just fed up of going to attractions that were marketed as the most extreme thing you've ever done. And it wasn't. There's intense attractions, and we all think there's a difference between a very intense scare maze and an extreme scare maze. But they basically created it out of frustration. Not long after that, Atmosphere Guide created Psychomantium. There's been 9 incarnations of Psychomantium. I've been sick and twisted enough to do most of them. And they created the attraction after their main sort of screen park towards the end of their attraction, a small upcharge attraction, to again go through a really physically disgusting sort of intense experience. I don't want to talk too much about it, obviously. Jason will talk more about that, but again, that came about, like I say, through 9 incarnations. Then we had the glorious minds of Cracked turn up and really break me. I thought I could take Psychomantium and Project Fear, but Cracked was the first survival experience. Not just a quick 5-10 minute attraction, there's literally a 6-hour long survival experience. There's been a few incarnations of that as well. Snuff House at Scare Kingdom, again, there's been 2 sort of versions of that, a shorter version, Snuff House After Dark Alone, and then Snuff House, I've done with homework, and then Snuff House After Dark as well. One, like a shorter attraction after the main Scare Kingdom again, and then the other, again, a survival 4-hour long experience. that have used real, like, new sort of techniques as well, especially to interact with the audience with Facebook Live. Has anyone here seen a Facebook Live video from Snuff House at midnight? Yeah. Weird. literally, you're flipping between that and Babe Station. It's hard. And then cracked again. Sorry? Yeah. Phoned up the wrong people. Our bill is so high. And then Cracked teamed up with the LA-based Heretic. The Heretic guys came over to the UK, and again they did a Cracked versus Heretic attraction. And that kind of brings us to today. I want to say thank you, firstly. There's a lot of people in the room that have sent us your questions. And like I say, this is just a panel, so you can kind of understand what these guys do. We think we've got like a nice mix. Obviously, Lee and Jason who create the attractions, Callum who acts in the attraction, which is probably one of the harder jobs when you're actually acting in these survival extreme experiences. And then we've got the absolute crazy people who travel around the whole world going through them. So thank you to ScareCon for letting us do this. Obviously, myself and ScareTrack for a good beer. Also, thank you to Europe Haunts for sharing it to get some questions. And thank you to the guys at Return of the Living podcast over in America. They shared it and got a fair few questions in for us as well. So it's nice that there's a lot of people from all around Europe and the world who want to find out more about this still slightly taboo kind of subject. So you say to people that you want to do a haunted house, people look at me weird anyway and think I just wander around in a cape all day. That's my nickname at work. And then when you actually go further and say you're doing things like, last night I was gagged, tied up and put in the back of a van, and that was by my fiance. Then I did cracked. So we're going to go through some questions. If I don't get through them all, really sorry. We have got quite a few. Not everyone sort of made the cut because there are some people who are similar, but I think we'll cover everything. We then also have just a few notes at the end of what's coming next for these companies and creating extreme attractions in case anyone else wants to go through them. And then we can try and get through some questions at the end. But if we don't, we're all very nice. Ask us throughout the day. So, let's crack on with the questions. This question is from Dennis Van... Say your second name?
Lokelen.
Say that again?
Lokelen.
Not even trying. from the Netherlands. This is for the attraction owners, and also Lee, Jason. What made you start an extreme attraction, and why have you gone down the extreme attraction route instead of a normal scare attraction? How do you make sure it's safe but still scary as well? Lee, take it away.
Well, 3-4 years ago we decided that we were going to go down this extreme route. It just seemed the immersive side of normal scare attractions, we could see that there were a lot of people that sort of went through them but still came out and said we weren't immersed enough, that we didn't feel like that we were sort of like inside something. And so We looked at different areas that we could do that and just take it a little bit further. And so we sort of sat down with numerous people, the sort of creative team in front of us, and there were a few more, Paul Davis and Brett Jones, and we sort of like ironed out like a 50 list of like things that we could do and safely make it feel like it was extreme. And then we sort of like had to get rid of the 40 of them because we realised it wasn't safe. And so we decided then that we would just put these elements of extreme. One thing that the sort of we need to get across very simply is that, yeah, they are extreme. I sort of say personally that these are more like doing Tough Mudder and things like that. The elements in these events, these endurance events that go on monthly and all the way around the country, sometimes for charity, that we just use the same elements. The only thing that we do is we do what we do best, and we put them in a horror situation. Is that we can make something feel 20 times worse it is by using the basic elements as what every scare attraction owner that will do. It's that, so a lot of it is, I know it's something that, and you know, there's people that do things wrong, and what this, you know, a lot of these smokes and mirrors is the fact is that we can do something and make the person feel that we are doing not that, but we're doing something totally different. And I think that's the main thing, safety-wise, is that we have to go through with the same rigmarole as everybody else. We haven't got a special rulings that to say that we haven't got to have insurance. It's the totally opposite, really. So the fact is that everything's pinpointed. I work as my full-time job within the building industry. There isn't an industry in this world that is more down to paperwork through health and safety than the building industry. It's the fact is. So I can use that element through the things ways that, you know, we risk assessments, method statements for everything. Everything that we do is pinpointed and risk assessment and to the last minute. We have to do this stuff. I'll just pass on to Jason, I'm sure he'll be able to add his bit.
Hello, thank you. My answer's been quite different. I'm just going to remind the question, what made you start Extreme Traction? So we had decided at Scare Kingdom Screen Park, which is our main client in Lancashire, that we wanted to experiment to see, first of all, if people would pay an additional fee for an extra experience. And we didn't know if the audience would do that. So they've paid for their ticket to the park, which includes all the attractions. Obviously, they're going to buy a drink, maybe souvenirs, that kind of thing. Would they pay for an extra attraction that wasn't included in the price? And we thought we wanted to test that. Secondly, we wanted to do something that was for 18 plus, and we wanted to do it as a what we call full contact porn. So I don't think the word extreme is right. It's called full contact porn in America, and that's the term that we tend to use, although they are extreme in terms of describing them. So Psychomantium was a show that I had written many, many years ago. It wasn't an extreme attraction, it was a medical story. And the story was taboo. Why did we pick a taboo topic? Because I like to be naughty. Because seriously, we wanted to make people shocked. If we could shock people, it would be great for PR. If we could shock people, it would be great if they enjoyed the experience, but were also appalled and shocked by it. And those are the reasons why we decided to do Psychomantium originally. The rest of the question was, how do you make sure it's safe but still scary? So, I don't think necessarily extreme attractions or full contact ones are scary, actually. Because being scared is one area of psychology, and putting yourself through a challenge that is endurance-based or unpleasant, and you know it's going to be unpleasant, is a different kind of psychology. In terms of safe, very much similar to what you said about your risk assessments, etc. Our insurers know exactly what we do. We have a separate set of terms and conditions. We have a consent contract between us and the patient, or as we call them in Psychomantium, that's going through the attraction. And that is informed consent. So they are made aware of exactly all of the things that may happen to them. Now, that doesn't mean all of the things happen to everybody, because the attractions aren't always linear, so there's some degree of flexibility in the experience. But they are informed about what may happen, and they accept that condition. And we have a safe word, always. And if they say a safe word, it stops instantly. And the character rhythm comes out of character, takes them out of the attraction, and their name is scrawled on a wall to show they didn't survive. So I think that answers question one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. This is a question that's more to the customers, or we like to call them victims, of these attractions. If anyone wanted to laugh at that pharaoh again, that was Michael scaring someone. That's before he went in. I'll point out as well, these photos are just from some of the extreme attractions in the UK just throughout the night. That girl will swallow anything. Right, so next question. We'll go through these quicker. Martin Page from Escape Entertainment. This is for the customers' victims. When visiting an extreme attraction or haunt as an enthusiast, what is it that you're actually looking from the event? What do you want to get out of it, more so than a regular haunt or house?
Well, for me personally, when I go through a normal haunt, it's weird. Like, you, for example, you will have a butcher haunt, and they will threaten you, oh, we're going to cut you up, but then they don't. And that's if it gets to this weird or in situation, and I think it's fun in these attractions that they can come a little bit closer to you and they won't actually cut you up, obviously. But it's just more immersion, you're more present in the story they are trying to build. And that is what I'm looking for, just a better kind of immersion.
Does anyone want to follow up on that? Is it similar, or are you getting something completely different out of it?
It's similar. I just do it for the adrenaline rush. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride when you first drop. You're scared, you still know you're safe, yet you kind of get pushed to your limits in between. So, yeah, it's just this big rush, and it's more, like he said, it's more immersive than a regular haunt. Regular haunt, you just walk through, they go boo, you exit, that's it. But with these events, they last. Like, you get out, you have that huge adrenaline rush, and it lasts for, like, hours, sometimes even days. And when you get out, that's when you start thinking about, what did I actually just experience? It just never ends. It lasts a lot longer, and the whole, like, it's a lasting impression, and that makes it so much different from a traditional haunt.
Awesome stuff, thank you. We have a question, again, more so for the owners here. This one's probably better for Jason, actually, and his sick and twisted mind.
It's not just me, there is a team.
There's a team with you, Jason, and sick and twisted mind.
It was very much involved with Psychomantis Mark, who's over there somewhere.
Perfect. So we got one from Vicky Taylor from Rapture Events. A lot of extreme attractions can focus on the power between, the relationship between guests and actors. With humiliation and sometimes sexual themes being quite common. Where do you draw the line between entertainment and a fetish?
I don't think you do draw the line, actually. Because both of those things are objective. I mean, at the end of the day, we're an entertainment company, and that's always at the forefront of our minds, that the end result of a guest experience in whatever kind of attraction you're presenting has to be that they have enjoyed it in whatever way, whether that's because they've successfully achieved to complete it, or they've been scared, or they've laughed, or whatever. So it is entertainment. Is it fetish? Yes, absolutely, it is. But what's fetish to one person will be different to what's fetish to another. If you like going through an attraction and you enjoy seeing a man in a gimp suit with fake tits, come to Psychomantium. Only £5.
And like I say, I went through every Psychomantium. We got one here that's for, it could be for owners and customers actually, so if anyone hasn't spoken yet, you can speak up on this question, from Ems Warren from Immersive Events. At what point do these type of events deviate from scare attraction and become more of an experience in endurance and simulated torture? Anyone, take it away.
I'll have a shot at this one. So I think one of the main things, obviously, is the ability to kind of use a safety word and get out if you need it, which I unfortunately have utilised, as I'm sure everyone in this panel will be glad to accept. But also, like, the challenge as well. I think the challenge is a really key aspect. So doing things like eating, water, and I'd also say another thing as well is the increased psychological aspect, which is something that both Snuffhouse and Cracked really heavily focus on. I mean, wow. The initial scene in Cracked was something quite simple, essentially, but the psychological aspect of it just really got to me. It is incredible.
Lee, you're obviously as an owner of a haunt as well. Would you say that there's quite a fine line between it going from scare to more of a simulated torture? Or do you think that Cracked still is part of a scare attraction umbrella? Or would you, again, say it's more of a survival experience?
I think every week my opinion about this changes, and I think that's the thing, is that it's borderline. Is it a scare attraction? Maybe not. Does it sit within the scare attraction industry? Then yes, I think it does, because a lot of the people that come through are still scare attraction fans. They're just looking for something else. But then on the other side is that we have a hell of a lot of the people that go through Cracked that don't really go through scare attractions. They just do Cracked and they'll come to do Snuffhouse and they'll fly around the world doing different events. So it's very different. So is it a scare attraction? I would say no, not really, no.
Awesome. And why don't we just take a break there to mention what's on behind us. Here's a photo of the tattoo. There's a few of those throughout the slideshow. Especially on the crack side of things, they've become a cult, and I'm quite scared of them. few of them. We've got tattoos, Blake, the central character. Again, if you've sort of seen 7 Miles in the past years, the Leah Dunn, you may know more about that. We don't have time to get into that today. But again, Bennett wants to talk to people more about the storytelling and you know, the depth of an extreme attraction can be, because you have got longer and you can build it up more. You do have a more of a niche sort of target market. I think these guys are definitely know what they're talking about. But yeah, some people have been crazy enough to get tattoos. Cool. So, next question.
Can I elaborate on that?
Yeah,
elaborate. I would personally never go through a simulated torture experience. I don't think they use elements of that, but it needs to tie into a concept, it needs to tie into a story. The reason that these are not just simulated torture experiences is that there are characters, there is a story, there is everything that ties into that. If it would just be an attraction where you endure stuff to endure stuff, I would not do it. There needs to be, yeah, something that connects you to the experience. So I think that is the line, like the concept, the story, the characters, that's essential for me. So my take. Thanks.
Awesome. This one's probably perfect for Callum. Callum, you were an actor in Snuffhouse. Hard role, obviously. This question is from Eddie Lee Sampson from the Dunkerin Medieval Village. There's always a fine line as a scare performer. How far do you take it when working the audience in an extreme attraction?
To be honest, it totally depends on the guest. I mean, when you work in these attractions, you tend to get to a stage where you can kind of judge each guest when they come through. So you kind of develop each performance depending which guest comes through. That's how I did it anyway, because some of them, you know, you could tell they weren't going to last 2 seconds, whereas other ones, like this one, would go through the whole thing. So, you know, it totally depends who was to come through. That's it.
So similar to any sort of more intense attraction anyway, you know, that some people are just going to lose it and try and run off, whereas some people, you know, can take a little bit more. With extreme attractions, that's obviously just intensified. We've got another question here, more so for the owners, then we can sort of flip it on its head to the victims as well. When hosting an extreme attraction, obviously your aim is to push people to their limits and way out of their comfort zone, but do you actually want people to say the safe word, or what exactly do you want to see from the participants? Is it, do you want them to quit, or do you want them to say
it? No, I absolutely do not want them to say the safe word. It is their choice to say it, it's getting too much for them, but we are an entertainment company, we're providing entertainment. There is much more guest reward and takeaway if they have survived the experience. If they have wimped out and said the safe words, then their experience of having done that is a letdown for them, and I want them to leave our venue happy and pleased with the experience. And I think, I know that over the years there have been various scenarios where actors in some of our full contact haunts sort of have a running total of, I've got 6 safe words, I've got 10. We don't really want that, we discourage that very much and make sure that the actors understand that we are providing an experience that people have asked for, but we also want them to enjoy the experience to the level that they can, even though that's a little bit twisted.
Fair enough. And Lee, you got something to
really, my answer would be exactly the same as Jason's on all accounts, is that we're here to entertain people, we're not here to... I think Callum would probably agree with me as an actor, is the fact is that, you know, within these attractions, if you wanted anybody to quit, you could get them to quit within probably 20, 30 seconds, anybody. But there's no fun in that, and it's that, you know, it's these guys enjoy doing it. There's lots of people that enjoy doing these things, and they will get nothing out of it. So my answer would be exactly the same. No, I would have nothing better than if there were 15 come in, the 15 finish the night.
Awesome. And flipping that on its head from one of the victims we haven't heard from yet, maybe. On the opposite side of the end of that stick, do you want to make sure that you get through it, or do you feel like, oh, I don't mind if I say the word because I needed to, or is it a sense of pride that you've managed to get through so far in this attraction as opposed to quitting?
That depends on the event. I'm not prepared to name the event. Well, yes, I have said the word in an event, but to me, safe word is just the point that you've reached your level. And to me, it's almost like reaching the pinnacle of a mountain. And it's, I want to emphasise, it's extremely personal to yourself. And you are in full control. I don't think it's emphasised, but because there's an element of secrecy around certain events, media, and maybe McCabe and Manor, I'll name it, but they can show, they emphasise that element. But to me, no, it's you reach a level, you're fine, and I have no problem at all with segueing the right scenarios.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I've segued many times. Thanks, Cal. yeah, basically, I never really have a problem safe-wording. I mean, I aim to get as far as I personally can, and that makes me happy knowing that I've pushed myself. There are certain things which I particularly hate, but it's always good to know that you've given something a try, and as long as I feel that I've done the best that I can, I'm always perfectly fine safe-wording if I feel I can't continue.
Anyone
else?
Yeah.
Just want to really quick. I safe-worded once, and that was at a point where I was actually starting to panic. So once this experience stops being fun and turns into something extremely uncomfortable, where you really your body is telling you this is not what you want to do right now, that's when it's time to safe-word. So for me, it's like, as long as it's still fun, I can take a lot of stuff. But when my body is starting to react in weird ways, and I'm just starting to like feel a panic, I will safe word. So it's not like making it to the end. When I don't feel safe anymore and I don't feel the fun anymore, I'm just going to quit.
Awesome. We've only got 15 minutes left, so I want to get through a few more questions before we talk about what's next for the attractions. So we have Antoine from Immersive Events. Again, this is for the victims. What do you think it says about those that attend these types of events multiple times? Are they trying to get the most out of an extreme scare, or is there something else that makes people enjoy these types of events more than your general Halloween-based scares? So, basically, are you all mental?
What else? What do you think?
I honestly think you're mental. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to put myself through it, so that's why I'm interested in what makes you guys go and do these
it's
events.
It's fun.
How?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't really elaborate on it. Am I mental for doing it? It's very subjective. I don't know.
I think for me it's definitely a case of curiosity killed the cat. Like, literally, when I first heard about Psychomantia and Snuffhouse and Cracked, I just needed to know what happened in them. And the fact that all these events are so secretive, it was just that little seed of intrigue eventually just blossomed, and I ended up just having to go through all of them. And it is good fun, but it can be absolutely terrifying, uncomfortable, and unpleasant, but they are good fun, ultimately.
Yeah, just briefly, one thing I'd say, once you've done an extreme event, or a very intense event, conga line attractions, traditional ones, just don't seem the same ever again. And that's not the only negative aspect. Having said that, can appreciate a lot more the traditional haunts and the effort and the work that goes into them. You can certain spot special effects and how the local work certain areas. I have a much more greater appreciation of the whole industry. You know, I just like one particular element more than anything else.
Awesome.
Can I say something?
Oh yeah, sorry, Jason.
I just want to say what we think. I think that we live generally in a very safe, medicated society and life. And to put yourself in a position where you know you're actually safe, but it is beyond that normal life, is very appealing to people. And I think the same thing would apply to people who do very extreme sports, whether it's safe, but it's beyond the normal everyday life, which is for most of us quite banal, and this is putting yourself in a different zone. That's what I think.
Well, so we have a question from Bradley Bamford from Return of the Living podcast over in America. This one may be best for you, Lee, because you've worked with Heretic recently. Have you noticed, if any, a big difference between the USA and the UK extreme courts?
Yes, a countryman. I think that as the scare attraction industry, at one point we were slightly behind America and sort of catching them very quickly. Then we've got the same issue with the extreme attractions, as the fact is that we were lucky to work with Heretic from Los Angeles. All the cast were obviously actors and theatrically based, and everything that they did it was a story. There was a story base to it, and it made sense. And the fact is that, you know, that we found with Cracked that a lot of it was endurance-based stuff with a story base to it, but it was a lot of it was. And I know that Matthias would sort of say that the first couple of incarnations of Cracked were like boot camps, and they probably were, because I think that was the early exceptions of it. But they just, it was just far fluenter, and theatrical wise it was a lot more. So I think we've got stuff to do and to catch up, but I think, you know, like we do with Scare Attractions, we'll move it on.
Awesome. Alex, we've only got 10 minutes left now, so I have to go through a few of these questions quick. We've got one specifically for Alex. What gave you the incentive to start your obsession with extreme attractions?
Just briefly, 2011, before Christmas, from about 1996, my routine, I've held down a reasonably responsible job. On a Friday night, I put £30 of amphetamine sulfate in a spoon. I swap me a glass of Coke and repeat it on a Tuesday, occasionally on a Friday. I managed to maintain that habit for, like I said, for about 15 years on and off. When Mum was diagnosed with bowel cancer in 2011, I lost her within a month. As well as my father, who's in remission of prostate cancer. He's cool now, by the way. Thank you for the treatment. What I'm trying to say is, a lot of people at that point, I think, could have went really off the rails. I was very fortunate that someone up there, I'm not religious, but somebody was looking out for me. And I was introduced to this Skirhorn community. It started with the Farmageddon, and moved on to Skir Kingdom, and then to the Tea from Cracked. I have not taken any substance ever since. I don't believe it. Whatsoever. I find, although it may seem strange to everybody else sat here, why do people do this? I can assure you, it's not conventional therapy, for me it works and it's effective. Thank you very much.
Awesome. We'll pick up with one last question and then we'll move on to what was next for the attractions. If you've got time, any questions for yourself, but like I say, if you don't have time, we are running out, then just come to AOS throughout the day. Again, another one for Callum, it's more about characters. It must be pretty bizarre to be so deep in character and engage with the audience members on such a personal and sometimes physical level, while needing to be able to break character immediately if a safe word is said. How, and jump back into the character immediately for other guests who are in the experience, how do you deal with that when it's so intense but you need to be able to cut it straight away for safety purposes?
Personally, I never had a problem with it. Like I say, we go through intense training before we even put one guest through. So you get taught how to deal with guests in certain situations, look out for certain signs in guests to see if how they're coping, because obviously these kind of things we're doing, sometimes it makes people a bit worse for wear. Whereas then we know as actors what we need to do in that certain situation. And when a guest safe words, literally break character straight away, leave them out, and then you've got to get straight back into it. There's no 2 seconds, you can take 5 minutes, you just got to get straight back into it. But that's part and parcel of what it is. And on a personal level, with people that came through, the likes of Matthias, you know, Tim, etc., Alan, it's great to have you build a connection with each person, especially when they keep coming back and they repeat guests and stuff. And it's great to build kind of like a war in a way, rivalry, which went on for months and months and months, and which was great. And everyone enjoyed it thoroughly, and me personally as well. So, yeah, but as an actor's point of view, you just got to know when, what your limits are and deal with it the right way.
Perfect. So then guys, we've got sort of 5-6 minutes left. We're going to quickly talk about what's next for the two attraction owners here. Obviously we have the Cracked side of things and the Psychic Mansion side of things. So Lee is going to be very busy. Lee, what have you got coming up?
Too much. Well, in about 4 or 5 weeks' time, we've got Fraternity. But Fraternity is going back to what I said about the theatrics that we sort of found. The it's a semi-extreme. It's like a training pool in extreme attractions. It's going back to, we're doing it with Gary Crompton from G&G, so it's got all the sort of hallmarks of Project Fear. It's slightly extreme, but there's nothing in that that anybody would really sort of earmark down to what you would get in Cracked or Stuff House and attractions like that. So it's more story based, it's very short, it's only 30 minutes. But it just tells a story of trying to join a fraternity and going through a secret society initiation ceremony. So that's there. The guys from Heretic are coming back across to Switzerland in October to do an event with a new extreme company over there. And while they were there, they sort of said, can we come across and do it? So we're doing Diary of the Deceased. Now, this is a non-extreme attraction. It's going to be a theatrical production that we're incorporating both companies with to do that. That'll just work. It's just going to be a two-night attraction. And then next year, one of the exciting things in April is that we're actually flying out to Los Angeles to take Crack to LA. So we've been asked to come across to do 2 days with them, and we're going to do Crack versus Heretic in Los Angeles. And the final one is that Heretic do an attraction called Cabin, which is an overnight experience done in a cabin. I've been talking to Adrian for a while now about bringing a version of that attraction over here for the summer of next year. So we're going to do that for 2 or 3 nights called Savage Nights. Now the basis to that is we're going to take you back to 1989. It's in the middle of the Acid House summer of love, and instead of picking people up like we usually do for attractions, is that they're going to have to find the attraction first, which is going to be the fun bit, and then we're going to take them through the situation of that they've come to a place where they think they're going to an all-night rave, but they're not. They've come to an entrepreneur that has got a love for 80s slasher movies. So that's going to be the attraction in next summer. We don't know yet exactly what day. So yeah, that's us for the next year anyway.
And then with Jason and Scare Kingdom Screen Park, the return of Psycho Mantu.
Okay, so Snuffhouse After Dark, the 4-hour overnight, well it's only 4 hours, it's not a whole night, endurance game, that's operational now, and that is currently commissioned to operate until September. There are some dates with some tickets left on those if you're interested. Beyond that, I have scrapped Snuffhouse alone, totally, because I thought it had its day and I wanted to return to something a little bit more theatrical. So we're bringing Psychomantium back after its long hiatus, with Psychomantium Resurrection, and that will start in October and run for 5.5 weeks at Scare Kingdom Screen Park. And the other news is that we have just merged with Fringe Media Inc. in America, and we are bringing Dead of Night to the UK next year.
Thank you. Awesome. Right, we have 3 minutes left. Like I said, if you don't have enough time, find us today. But is there anyone who wants to ask a question to someone in specific now, whether it be an owner or a victim or Lou?
I think the silence answers your question. Everyone's got it in their brains on the next day. It's nothing to do with Scare Entertainment, whatever is next after that to get you higher, I would think.
Anyone else got any questions? I couldn't get us arrested. Yes?
In regards to the guests, so I know some of you obviously like know have met Callum before,
do you think that having a relationship, knowing someone outside of the attractions, do you think that affects you in the attraction because you know the people behind the mask? Do you think
it's not allowed. Callum's very naughty. Gone against contract.
It does in a way. Like, for example, with Heretic, the first time I went through, I was terrified. I didn't know any of the people. Now I've seen them a couple of times, and you know the faces, and you're slightly less nervous before, maybe. In the show, it makes zero difference. Like, when I'm doing something with Callum, Callum isn't there, it's Mr. Black. Before it does change something, during the attraction, for me personally, it really doesn't.
We sort of encourage it. We've got a little community. And the fact is that, so, anybody that goes through any incarnation of Cracked are put on a secret Facebook page called Club Reliqua. That is just for people that's been through the attraction and the actors. And we sort of encourage that rapport. And then the first week in November, we always have what we call like 3.5, Crack 3.5, which is we all meet up and have a jolly good time, and generally in Blackpool, and then we sort of, it just drops on that Jason's last weekend at Scare Kingdom is that weekend, so we get to sort of like finish the Halloween season with Jason, so I think when they're in the attraction, no, but then when they come out, they sort of have the respect of being able to go straight to that page, talk to people that's been through the attraction, talk to the actors, and as like with Callum, you get that rapport with the cast, and I think it works really well.
Yeah, it's totally different for us because, as an example, so Snuffhouse alone, 10,000 people through it. We don't encourage whatsoever actors to engage with people outside of their role. And the reason for that is really because I don't want to break that fourth wall between you've been to a screen scare attraction, you've met Mr. Black. Oh, by the way, he's actually called Callum. We'll have a pint with you. No, we don't want that. We want to retain that mystique. So it's totally different to what these guys do in that regard. We're talking about very, very large numbers of people.
Okay, I've been told by the sexy sound cousins that we've only got 1 minute left. We've got one last question. I also want to hand Gerald. Yes, sir.
Just about the legal side, really. Is the disclaimer actually covering this legally, or is it a grey area?
Yeah, we haven't checked. So it's that, you know, sort of, we're quite lucky though. As I say, I work within the construction industry, so all I do is I just fire things to the legal side on our company and sort of, and let them sort of browse over it. Sarah works for a major sort of retail company as well, so we like let them insure and let them have a look at it. So as Jason sort of said, is that we put everything in the disclaimer before. The only thing that we slightly do probably different to Jason is that we host, we actually email the disclaimer like 6 weeks before the event, and we let them read it and devour it, and then sort of say, within 2 weeks of the attraction, you bring it back to us. So we then, as a company, just feel that the comfort of knowing that they've not read it and signed it, they've had it 4 weeks, and so they've been able to devour that as much as well. If they want to get a legal person to read over and say, is that okay, then that's a talent to them. We're quite happy for them to do that. So we think it's alright, and it's always worked well for us.
Awesome. So thank you guys for listening. I hope we all got a little bit something from obviously the actor side of things, the owners and the victims. Like I say, if anyone else can think of any questions throughout the day, anything, we're all very nice people and we'll all be very drunk later. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of Scarecraft.
You're listening to Scarecraft.
So there we go. Once again, thank you to ScareCon. Thank you to Frequent Fear, Europunts, guys, Return of the Living Podcast. Thank you so much for giving us some questions as well. And to all the panel as well, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your insight. Like I say, we all agree, we wish we could explain a little bit more and talk a bit more. 45 minutes just literally went so, so quick. So yeah, feel free to contact any of us if you have any questions about it or anything else. else in the skate industry, we are very friendly. The best way to contact us is via our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/scaretrack. We also have an email address, scaretrack@gmail.com. And you can get us on all over social media as well. You can get us on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all on the handle of ScareTrack. Nice and easy. Remember, guys, you can also get some ScareTrack merch. Thank you to the guys who we did see at ScareCon wearing some ScareTrack t-shirts. Really, really do appreciate that. That is really awesome. Just head over to smart-fx.co.uk. That's smart-fx.co.uk to get your t-shirts, mugs and hoodies. So that brings us to the end of this episode, episode 46 of the ScareTrack podcast, a special dedicated to the Extreme Haunt panel at ScareCon 2017. Once again, thank you for listening, guys, and on the next episode, we'll have Hannah and Sean back yet again. See you soon, guys. Bye-bye.